My name is Dr. Deborah Messikar, and I'm at Oregon Health Science University in Portland, Oregon. And I'm going to be talking today about some research that I've done with family caregivers of older adults. So I was just fascinated by the prior presentation because I know we know in the among caregivers of older adults that depression is has been a very prominent, you know, problem along with higher mortality. And it's interesting to see some of that same phenomenon happening with the caregivers of chronically ill children. And I guess in some ways it's not surprising, but it's really sad to see the family caregivers struggling with that on top of all the other difficulties they obviously have in that environment dealing with that kind of an illness. At any rate, a little bit of background on me. I spent 14 years as a visiting nurse in Portland, Oregon, and the majority of the patients that I saw during that time frame were older adults. And one of the things that I always was always a conundrum for both myself and for the other staff was the desire to see older adults remain independent and living in their own home environments, which is usually the strong stated preference of most people who are getting older, is that they want to age in place. But a lot of times, you know, the functional changes that go along with advanced age and declines that accompany chronic illness make that more and more difficult. And so the focus of my dissertation research at OHSU with Pat Archibald and Barbara Stewart was on make environmental modifications to make family caregiving easier. And in the context of that study, one of my findings from that was that many caregivers reported that they didn't have any idea of where they could get information about making home modifications. And there are a couple of other people in the gerontological research community. One is William Mann, who's an occupational therapist, used to be at SUNY in Buffalo, but I think he's moved down to Florida a couple years ago. He also, in his center that was devoted to rehabilitation and in particular assistive technology, in his studies he found that a lot of caregivers were, when they were asked, you know, what would you like to see invented for as assistive technology for older adults, almost like 95% of the time people were mentioning devices that were already in existence. So we knew we have a real disconnect in terms of people being able, you know, to get this information. So I failed to disclose that I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. Sorry. And I also wanted to acknowledge a couple of the centers at OHSU that were particularly helpful in terms of recruiting family caregivers to participate in the study. One is the Leighton Aging and Alzheimer's Center, run by Dr. Jeffrey Kay, and the other was the Parkinson's Clinic at OHSU. They were particularly helpful in helping me recruit participants for this study, and like I said, I was very interested in people who were dealing with a lot of functional decline, and so that's why I used those two sources for recruiting subjects. The aims of the study were to find out from the caregiver's perspective their satisfaction with their current sources of information regarding home modifications and to examine their reactions to three possible formats for receiving information about home modifications, which were catalogs, commercials, and web-based shopping. Initially, what I had hoped to be able to do was to figure out a plan for an intervention that I could create that would, you know, help family caregivers obtain a home modifications for the older adults they took care of. But you'll see as I go through the findings that this didn't exactly work out the way I had intended. So basically what I did was used a focus group method of data collection because I really thought, especially in terms of, you know, displaying different formats and information about sources of information for modifications, that would be a good way to get sort of an energized discussion going among family caregivers about what would work and what wouldn't work. So we did 9 different focus groups. There were like 3 to 9 family caregivers per group, and a total of 43 caregivers of older persons with chronic conditions participated in these. Basically, the mean age of the caregivers was 56, but if you look at relationship to the care receiver, roughly 40% were children child caregivers, so they were sons and daughters, and another 40% were spouses. So there were really kind of two categories of response to the types of formats that I demonstrated, mostly based on the age of the caregiver. The median income was between $25,000 to $34,000. So these were people who, for the most part, had pretty good resources, I mean, relative to the last presentation that we had. And 56% of them lived with the care receiver. 75% were Caucasian and 25% were African American. And then this is just a list of the different focus group compositions. And I had some assistance from the African American Urban League. They were the ones that helped me recruit some African American focus group participants for our study. A lot of times in Portland, because of the low diversity of the local population, we have difficulty getting any African Americans to participate in our research. So I was really grateful for Dr. Fred Miller, who has a lot of connections with the community, who was able to help me recruit some participants for this, so it wouldn't be a completely white sample, which is been a difficulty with a lot of family caregiving research for older adults. Then the interviews were tape recorded, and I used NVivo, a qualitative data management program, to code the transcripts. So basically what I found when I went through my different scenarios of how would you like to get this information, really the caregivers didn't think any one of those formats was going to work very well. And so basically in my analysis, what I did as an alternative, rather than think about, well, let's go out and start using catalogs for this purpose or create commercials, was I tried to detail the feedback that I got from the family caregivers about what would be the criteria of the information they would like to receive. And basically, I'm going to go through each of these different findings here and show you some quotes from the participants. First of all, they wanted information that was specific for the type of problem they were trying to solve. So like this one participant said, I've been looking under Alzheimer's websites, and there's lots of reading materials and references, but nothing in the way of product information that I would find helpful. So one of the things that I recognized is that, you know, a lot of times when people start thinking about their caregiving situation, they may not go in the direction of thinking about assistive technology or environmental modifications. Instead, they're looking for things specific to the kind of care or the deficits that the older adult may have. So like websites that address, you know, the chronic illness condition. If they were to have more in-depth information about assistive technology or environmental modifications, that would be a natural link for the caregiver to follow. The information needed to be adequate to judge the fit for the older person. So as this one person said, some of the equipment, how would a lay person who doesn't know what's needed go out and choose something from a catalog? In my opinion, you would need someone who does an assessment first and then to tell you what's needed. Wheelchairs come in all different types. Walkers come in all different types. We're kind of facing that soon, the walker thing. And I noticed that there are different kinds, and there are people that I know will come out and assess that kind of thing. So particularly for some of the things that are meant to address mobility or even ramps or grab bars in the bathroom, it's not something that a lay person can necessarily judge. You know, like say, for example, just installing a grab bar in the bathroom, there's a lot of detail about where that grab bar is placed and how it's attached. And looking at, you know, the older person, it's going to vary depending on their height, their weight, and what their limitations are. It needs to be produced by a credible source. This one caregiver said, I would trust it more if it came from an organization rather than a company that had a vested interest in selling their own product, or maybe three or other companies that have something similar or better. So the fear is that, like with the infomercials that I was showing them, that, you know, if it's a company that's like selling one of those scooters, I see those a lot on TVs right now, you know, decision that you can make a very expensive mistake if you pick the wrong type of mobility device for the person that you're trying to, you know, help with their mobility. Another thing was that the information source could be searched or accessed quickly. And this one caregiver said, especially when you're in the situation where you're providing care, because when you're in the middle of it, you're not focusing on anything except this person or this issue, and how do I do this? You may be the most intelligent person in the world who could figure it out 6 months down the road when you're not in the same situation that you are today. But right now, you needed a place where it's going to be fast and easy, and you can get to it. I think that's the point, that you don't need it next week or next month. You need it today. And, you know, because of some, you know, I know research has shown there's many family caregivers who provide up to like 24 hours, 36 hours of care in a week. It's really hard to fit in, even get the time to be able to go out and shop for things like this or search through materials. So another thing was not being overwhelmed by the options being presented. This one caregiver said, I would rather not be overwhelmed with a bunch of different brands, because I mean, I feel overwhelmed with the problems anyhow. I don't have a lot of decision making. If they start confusing my thinking, then I can't follow along. One caregiver was telling me about, you know, making choices between different wound care products that would help. And she said, you know, that was one of the things that's just, she had so much information that she just couldn't make a decision. And especially when people are feeling really stressed, it's hard to do that. So they need guidance. And then another thing is having it just in time when it's needed. It needs to come in the mail or a commercial or something that says go to this website, or needs to be in the office where you're going to take care of the person you care for. Having it out there and expecting the caregiver to look for it is not realistic. So, you know, one of the things that I was showing them is that the ABLE database was a database that was created that's got something like 18,000 different assistive devices on it. And that's just, I mean, I have a hard time looking things up on that. I can see where a family caregiver would have problems with that. Catalog, and then this is like just going back to the specifically data about the different formats. The catalog formats, the things that were positive about them is that, you know, the format's somewhat familiar, especially for older people who are like used to getting the Sears catalog or Montgomery catalog. And they're pretty easy to get. The limitations are you can't tell from looking in the catalog whether it's going to address the specific problem you're trying to solve. And also, too, catalogs often have a ton of, again, the whole problem with a ton of different choices. On the video and the web-based information, the videotaped infomercials, I showed them an infomercial that was on bath benches. And they said, the infomercials helped a little bit being able to judge the fit to the older person, because you actually saw it demonstrated with, you know, an older person who has some disability. But then that the danger with that is that the concern would be that the people who would be producing those infomercials would be the ones who had the vested interest in you buying a particular product, and so that you wouldn't be getting, you know, maybe all the information that you needed. And then web-based searching for information was not an option for a number of the caregivers participating in interviews because of a lack of access to and skill with using the internet. And that was actually more of a phenomenon for the spouse family caregivers than it was the child family caregivers. The child family caregivers, and when I say child, you know, I'm talking people in their 50s, right? They were a little more comfortable with using that medium, but the spouse family caregivers were not. So some of the sources of useful information that the caregivers proposed were organizations like, you know, especially some of the ones that are sort of the disease-based ones, like the Alzheimer's organization, the Parkinson's organization. It's kind of coming from a trusted source, and they often have experts within those organizations that can help, you know, post articles about how a particular device might be helpful in that. With that, the specific limitations that that person would have that chronic illness. Sometimes interestingly, some of the tradesmen, like the delivery men, the people who delivered the, you know, medical equipment, a lot of times, I know that they're advised not to give advice, but a lot of times the families seek them out because they're the ones that are delivering the equipment, and often they said they did get good information from them. Another high preference was for licensed professionals like OTs, PTs, and RNs. But, you know, part of my motivation in working on this project and trying to find a more universal way of getting the information out is that with in-home health because of different cutbacks, a lot of patients weren't getting, you know, all of those rehab services, or they're hard to come by, a lot of people weren't getting those kind of referrals. The other place that the caregivers said they got information were from the care settings, including long-term care facilities, clinics, hospitals. So sometimes, you know, in some instances when the older adult would be in the hospital, that was a great opportunity to get some connection with some of the rehab services, with other nurses, with people. And a lot of times the caregivers were observing, you know, how they were transferring people, what was the equipment they were using, and translating that into thinking about, well, how would that work in my home setting. Same thing was true for time that might have been spent, the older adult might have spent in a long-term care facility. And then for some caregivers, you know, family caregiver support groups were helpful. Now, there's a lot of caregivers, for whatever reason, they don't like utilizing that resource. And so, but for those that do, they get a lot of good information from caregivers who are in a similar situation. And that's where that advice from more experienced caregivers comes from, and also experienced case managers. So if you're fortunate enough, let's say, you know, you have Medicaid as another resource for caring for the older adult, and there's a case manager that's working with it, and they have familiarity with the different types of assistive equipment, they can be a great resource. So my conclusions were that the currently employed information dissemination strategies don't meet caregivers' needs. Of the three formats presented in the focus groups, none met all the important and desirable information features that caregivers said they would like to see. And advice from experts such as licensed professional, experienced case managers, and support groups came closest to meeting the desirable features criteria that the caregivers specified. Okay, so unfortunately, many caregivers did not consistently have access to these important and valuable sources of information. And though there was a lot of discussion about the use of the internet, there was a lot of comments indicating that this medium can be problematic too. And future research should focus on piloting new information dissemination strategies that will better meet caregivers' needs. So that's kind of the point I'm at now. I'm an affiliate at OHSU, developed a new center. The acronym is Oratech, and what we're looking at is using technology to promote independent living. And you know, in that process, we're trying to think of other strategies of how, you know, we can get this information out to family caregivers. BIC Information Center at OHSU, they did pilot a creation of a family caregiving website, and, you know, I know I created some articles for that, it's still a struggle. There was a national research study called the REACH Family Caregiving Study that involved five different universities, and each of them employed different strategies for dealing with family caregiving stress. And one of those was in Philadelphia, and Dr. Laura Gitlin did manage that site. And in her arm of that study to reduce burden and stress among caregivers, they piloted having occupational therapists visit the families try to help them think about modifications that they wanted to use. And we're still really struggling with that. In her branch of the study, the intervention was effective with some caregivers, but not all. And another part is, you know, the acceptability of the intervention to both the older adult and to the family caregiver. So I'm still thinking about this and where the next steps will be. I think as the internet gets easier and easier for people to use and more available, I still have hopes that somehow we'll be able to create an intervention that will help family caregivers, but it's going to have to meet a lot of those criteria before I think it will be very useful for them. So at any rate, thank you very much.